This is TWiT.
Britain's new head of GCHQ has barely started in his new job. He's been there less than a week, and already he's making people mad. In an op-ed for the Financial Times, Robert Hannigan called U.S.-based tech companies like Google, Facebook, and Twitter the, quote, command and control networks of choice for terrorists and criminals, unquote. Hannigan says the social networks are in denial about misuse of their services by terrorists, and he called for more cooperation by the companies. He also made the point that he believes users want more balance between privacy and counterterrorism. Joe Panettiere, I think that's a dubious claim. Do you really think that users are clamoring for more balance, or do they just want privacy and for the GCHQs and the NSAs of the world to butt out of their private communication?
Yeah, you know, it's sort of ironic when you have government officials talking about privacy and counterterrorism when it's the governments that are infiltrating these networks as well. Later on in the program, we're going to talk about how the financial services sector is sort of uniting to combat these hackers, et cetera. And you almost wonder, can the governments, the U.S., Britain, et cetera, do they have hotlines in place, the so-called bat phone, where they can give early alerts as they spot things on these networks and also be in direct touch with Facebook, Google, Twitter, et cetera? We're not privy to that information, just how much information is flowing between governments as well as the social networks. But certainly we have not found the right balance yet because the attacks just become more and more widespread.
That's right. And there's a fundamental conflict here, because basically the response of the Silicon Valley companies so far, and I guarantee that it's going to remain the response, is get a warrant. You know, we have a legal system. Go through the legal system. Present us with a judge's permission for you to get this information, and we'll be happy to provide it. We have to provide it. So what he's really calling for is to go around the legal system, to sort of get them to voluntarily cough up the private information of people that they suspect of crimes or terrorism. And one of the reasons this conflict exists is because our legal system is built around safeguards of citizens, at least here in the UK and Canada and many other countries. But it's designed to prosecute, to investigate and prosecute crimes. What counterterrorism organizations do is pre-crime. They're trying to prevent crimes before they happen. And that's a much more extensive, much more invasive process by its very definition. You can't prevent crimes unless you know what everybody's saying. And so he's really calling for something that isn't going to happen. I think that part of the problem also is that the NSA and GCHQ and other agencies made a huge mistake by just going in and helping themselves to so much mass surveillance data that now they've lost the trust of everyone. And people like look at them as more suspicious than they do even terrorists to a certain extent. And so this is really the big problem. They should have, you know, in hindsight, they should have done this right. They should have insisted on more oversight over themselves rather than taking advantage of the panic and fear that happened after 9/11, which essentially gave organizations like GCHQ and the NSA a free rein to go do mass surveillance. It also overturned a lot of the rules and laws. And now we're in the situation where people are clamoring for the Googles and the Facebooks and the Twitters to lock them out and provide real uncrackable encryption for our data. And it is genuinely a real problem for the counterterrorism agencies.
Yeah, it's a real problem. And then if you build upon that, Mike, I don't know how many weeks ago it was, but on this show, we covered the fact that Google and other social network providers and search engine providers are being overwhelmed, quite frankly, with inquiries about various use cases, who the users are, and the government's trying to basically subpoena all this information out of the big cloud providers. And the challenge is I'm sure some of those inquiries are legitimate inquiries. The problem is the government cries wolf over so many of these various users. The social networks and the cloud providers can't keep up with the government inquiries. And now you've got the governments crying foul over the cloud providers. And I just don't know when there's going to be a timeout called and you get Silicon Valley to huddle up with both Washington, UK, Canada, et cetera, and almost do a think tank approach to solving this, because it's not going to be solved in a bunch of articles with he said, she said.
The other problem with his call, which is for additional cooperation with certain agencies. You mentioned the U.S., the U.K., Canada, et cetera. Who is that et cetera? Is it China? Right, is it Pakistan? I mean, Pakistan is a partner in counterterrorism. So is Saudi Arabia. Where is that line drawn? Is it only Britain's allies that he's calling for? Like, who exactly is are the countries that Facebook and Google and Twitter should be cooperating with and giving free rein to, essentially? So that's another problem here. It's not going to be popular within the U.S. among the Facebook-using public, and it's not going to be popular internationally among many governments who are going to see that him calling for and essentially pressuring companies to cooperate with certain governments but not others. But again, like you say, there's a legitimate threat from ISIS and other terrorist organizations that could be helped a lot, presumably, by additional access. But again, this is going to be something that where a balance is going to have to be drawn. But I really, I personally think that there should be, obviously there should be a balance between safety and privacy in terms of social networks and so on. But that balance has to be established in the light of day, not backroom deals, not, secret agreements between spy agencies and private companies. So anyway, good luck to him. He's off to a bad start, I think, because now he's being already painted as being radically anti-privacy. And, people are, essentially getting up their guards against the guy.